Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Mem Vav. We're holding four lines from the bottom of the Omid, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. V'chein le'inyan tuma im makbid olav choytetz v'mroytze b'kiyumay harei huka areva. What is this referring to? Let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah was back on Mem Hei Omid Aleph. Just have to turn the page to the front. The Mishnah on the surface, l'choyra doesn't work. What do I mean doesn't work? Let's see the Mishnah. We learned already the Mishnah yesterday. Botzik shebesidke areva. You have a kneading trough, very large kneading basin, in which you have sidki. You have cracks, and in the cracks you have some botzik. You have some dough. In yesh kazayis v'mokam echad. If you have a kazayis of dough in one place, chayv levayer, then you have to go and eradicate. You have to remove it. Otherwise, you'll have a problem of balira. And if you do not have a kazayis from Mokem Echad, you have a half a kazayis. Bottle, you don't have to worry, there's no din of Bal Yiruh, Bal Yimotze. So we see very clearly, the Gabi Hilchos Pesach, what is the determining factor? Is there a kazayis or is there no kazayis? But now let's look at the second part of the Mishnah. V'chein le'inyan hatoma, the same thing applies to Toma. As was, in makbid alav choitzit. If he's makbid, it's a chatzitza. Vimroitze b'kiyuma, if he wants to keep it there, in other words, he doesn't mind it, that it's there, harihu kareva, then it's like the areva itself. In other words, if you have a shayla of tuma v'tahara related to the areva, and once again you have the botzek, if he is upset about this botzek, he wants to remove it, then it is a chatzitza. But if he said, no, it's fine, I'm very happy with it, keep it there, then it's like the areva. Now, there's a major disconnect over here, because the Mishnah says, v'chein le'inyan atumah. I would have thought that the Mishnah should have continued on. Same thing applies to tumah. If the botzek happens to be more than a kazayis, then it's a chatzitza. If it's less than a kazayis, then it's botlus is gunish. But the Mishnah doesn't say anything about the sheer kazayis or not. It says, are you makbid, not makbid? Could be that if you're makbid even on a little speck, then it's already no good. It could be even right to bekiuma if you have five kazayis. Now that's fine, no problem, it's like that reva. So the chayiv is a disconnect. And this is not my kasha, this is the Gemara's kasha. Zoki mar rabbi day, b'chein min yetumah, etc. Great mar mi dummy. David or someone else has their needs to mute themselves because we hear some background noise. So continuing on, Zokti Mar, me dummy. What's the connection between the Reisha and the Sefer? Hosam in the Reisha b'shi uratalim milza. It depends on the shear. Do you have a kazayis? Don't you have a kazayis? Hacha in the Sefer b'kpeidatalim milza. Are you happy? Are you not happy? There's a disconnect, and therefore Amar Rav Yehuda. Change the Lashon HaMishnah only slightly. Instead of saying that tuma the same din applies, say that the same din does not apply. That in the Reisha it depends on the Shear, and in the Seif it depends on the Hakpada. Obviously this is a difficult pshat, and therefore Amar Abaya. How do you go and turn it upside down and say no? And therefore, Amar Abaye Hachikama. Now, Abaye is going to say the first out of three terutzim that we're going to have in the Gemara, and all three terutzim go in the same way with the same approach. And that is, when we go back to the Mishnah once again, just for a short moment, when it says V'chein le'inyan hatuma, after V'chein le'inyan hatuma, you have to put a full stop with an exclamation point. Stop at that point. And therefore, what the Mishnah is saying is, just like the Gabi Hilchus Pesach, the same thing applies the Gabi Tumah on Pesach. This very same Areva, if I have a Shala of Tumah V'Tahara, I don't know exactly what the Shaila is, but we're going to deal with that momentarily. Whatever that Shaila is, Pesach, the determining factor will be the same factors that determined whether or not this is Chometz for purposes of Bal Yiruh, Bal Yimotzeh. That is, if it is a din of a kazayis, it has one din, less than a kazayis, has another din, v'chein din yatumah, same thing applies to Pesach. Now we have to add the words, however, b'shar yimoyz shana, when it's not Pesach, It has nothing to do with the shear of a kezayis or not a kezayis. Then it depends on imakben olav or imroitze bekiyomai. So we have to split the seifa into half. B'chein din tumah means same thing applies to tumah kezayis and not kezayis during Pesach. After Pesach, any other time throughout the year, it depends on hakpada. So now going back to Abaye. Elam Abaye hachikomah. V'chein le'inyan tziruf tumah bePesach. When it comes to Pesach, the same thing has to do with tziruf tumah. What means tziruf tumah? We'll see in a moment. However, shayim oisashana ika plukta. Plukta here doesn't mean there's a machloikis, but rather that there is a chiluk. There is a difference between if it was hakpada or no hakpada. Sehechi tami, what do you mean about this tziruf tumah? What's going on? Keep going. The ika pochois mi kebeya. There was less than a kebeya of other food besides this botzek besidke areva, besides this batter, this dough. There was pochas mikebeya. The two together, if you added the other oichlin together with that botzek, they were touching one another. The two together added up to a kebeya. And guess what happened? There was, for instance, a dead sheret, or a nevela, or another source of tumah that touched the pachas mikebeya of oichlin, and that pachas mikebeya of oichlin was nogoy. It touched. It was right next to and touched the behind botzek, that additional little bit of botzek of the dough that was besidki areva. So now the Pesach, the isurei choshuv mitzdarev b'shar yimoy seshana nipikpei natal yimiltza imakbet olav mitzdarev imroitze b'kiyumay hari hukarev. So what is the Gemara explaining? The Gemara is saying is the following. We have a case of a dead sheret. Dead sherets touch the other ochlin. Now the other ochlin for sure become tameh, because a sheret touches ochlin, even if that ochlin happens to be a mashu. If a sheret and a vela, a dead sheret and a vela touches it, becomes tamei. Good. Now the question is legabe tumas oichlin. Tumas oichlin means to go and transmit that tumah to other oichlin. For that kuli alma moide, to be able to be a transmitter, you have to have a shear of a kibeya. Now that oichlin that was touched by, that received tumah from the sheret, was less than a kibeya, and so therefore at the moment it's ineffective to go and transmit tumah to other food items. The only way that I can have it as a transmitter of other food items, of tumah to other food items, is if I mashlim that ochel and make it into a kebeya or more. Okay, so I have an easy way, l'chayra, because that ochlin, which was less than a kebeya, was touching batzek. Ah, okay, so take the batzek, take the pochas mi kebeya, if they add up to a full kebeya, and the sherets touch the ochlin, since the ochlin is also touching the batzek, it's one entity, it's a full kebeya, it can now transmit tumah to other ochlin and mashkin, etc. Very good. So now the question is this batzek in fact mitzdaref with the less than a kebeya of ochlin, or is it not mitzdaref? Dozok di gemara. If the amount of batzek which is in the aref, which is touching the other ochlin, if it happens to be a kezayis or more, since legabi hilchois Pesach, a kezayis or more does not become bottled to the areva, it's considered to be a dover choshuv. It's so choshuv that you have to eradicate and eliminate and destroy that piece of botzek which is besidki areva, because it's a kezayis or more. See, suri choshuv, it's a choshuv mezach. Guess what? It does not become bottled to the areva. It's considered to be an ochel, and it's mitzaref with the other ochlin to be mashal mesher kebeya, and therefore they can now transmit tumah to other ochlin. On the other hand, if there happens to be less than a kezayis of botzek, which is touching the other ochlin, even though together they add up to a kebeya or more, it does not transmit tumah. Why not? because that little bit of batik, which is less than a kazayis, becomes bottle to the areva itself. It is now woven into the fabric of the areva. It's now bottle umavutl. Oh, so now the other oilin, which is less than a kebeya, has no merger partner to be able to say, I got a gansi kebeya. It's only 3/4 of a kebeya, 90% of a kebeya, but it's not a full kebeya. I wanted to go mimitzdar that little batzik. That batzik says, I'm batl, I'm sorry, I'm batl terareva, I'm not available to go and merge with you. Guess what happened in such a case? You would not have enough of a mass to be able to transmit tumah to another dvar ochel. But that's only during Pesach time. Because Pesach time, that's how do we decide whether the batzik will be mitzdaref to the other ochlin or not. We decide based on Hilchos Pesach. If in Hilchos Pesach that batzik is a davar choshuv, what means a davar choshuv? You have to get rid of it because it's a gana bayiro bayimotze, meaning that it is a kezayis or more. Oh, if it's choshuv, it's considered to be an ochel, it's considered to be real live dough, then it's mitzdaref with the ochel. Then it becomes like full kebeya, and then it would go be mitzdaref to go be metame other food items with the din of tumas oichel. However, if Pesach says, "Now this is gunished, it's woven into the fabric of the areva because it's less than a kizayis," it will not be mitzdaref to the other oichel, even though with it we would have had a kebeya. But I'm sorry, it's disqualified because this is no longer butzik and food. This is now areva and an inanimate object. Therefore, it cannot go and be mitzaref to the other oichlin, and it will not transmit tumah because that's on Pesach. Because Pesach tells us, is this choshev or is it not choshev? But throughout the rest of the year, chometz is not a concern, and so therefore, whether or not it's a kazayis or less than kazayis, that already is not the determining factor. What is the determining factor is b'kpei the talya milza eves makbid, meaning what means that he's makbid? He says, I want to get rid of this batzik. The batzik looks so ugly. Sid kereva. If my wife sees it, if my cousin sees it, if my shmiga sees it, she's going to see that batzik. They should say, that's how you go and clean your kelim. It's terrible. Get rid of that. So he's makbid on it. Then it's a dover choshuv. He wants to get rid of it. So it's not woven and blended into the fabric of the areva, but rather it is still an ochel, that it's mitzdaref together with the other ochel to be mashlam eshir kepei. Right to begin with, it happens to be so small. Ah, come on, come on. No, nobody is it. Leave it, it's fine, it's good. Oh, if he doesn't mind leaving it inside the areva, it becomes part of the fabric, part of the wall of the areva. Oh, hariyuka areva, and then it would not be mitzdaref for purposes of transmitting the and therefore, that's why the Mishnah said, "Bebatim sidke areva yor kezayis nish kezayis v'chenin atuma." Same thing applies to tuma when during the yontif of Pesach to transmit tuma to other oichel. Now the Mishnah continues. What about the rest of the year? Oh, rest of the year has nothing to do with the shir of kezayis. Not kezayis. In makbid olaf choytzit v'reshkiyumai harihu ke'areva. So that's the first pshat of Abaye, and I see Barry has a question.
Usually the principle of butl daito etzel kol adam, why are we suspending? It's a question on the Mishnah more than on Abaye. Why are we suspending it? I understand in the case of the mashal kabotuma v'tznicha or not. But why are we suspending that principle here that it depends if he's makbid on it or not. Usually we say something is a food or not, depending on how people generally consider it.
Yeah. Okay. You remember at the beginning of Masechtas Erevin, the Gemara brought that there are three things which are locha l'moishe mesinai.
Shirin,
mechitzin, and chatzitzin. The Gabi chatzitzin, for example, chatzitzin is locha l'moishe mesinai. We have a pasuk in the Torah that you have to go and toy with es kol besaroi, so there can't be a chatzitzin. So Gemara says, you're right, that I know. The halacha Mishnah tells you is that if it happens to be rubai umakbid alav, then it's a chatzitza. If it's not rubai, even if he's makbid, and if he has akpoda but it's not rubai, then it's not a chatzitza min haTorah, but it's only midrabanan. So you see, in Hilchos chatzitza, it depends on hakpoda. Rubai umakbid alav, it's a chatzitza. If he's not makbid, it's not a chatzitza. So it doesn't really relate just to our Mishnah. And to our Gemara, it relates to chatzitza generally. A person today, he goes to the mikveh, if afterwards he comes out, he realizes there was a band-aid on it, or he had a blotch here, or whatever there, So then you have to go and ask a Ruv whether or not that would be a chatzitza. The Ruv's first question is going to say, are you makbet, are you not makbet? We cannot pass him based on our Gemaras, but the general rule is that it has to do with hakpada. If you're makbet, and that's why it says that a person, for instance, is a writer, or he's a painter, and he has ink on his hands, or he has paint on his hands, since he's used to doing that, he's not makbet, then you can go wash until it's a daim, and you can go in toivel, and it's not considered to be a chatzitza. For you and me, it would be a chatzitza, because you and I would be makbet on having a little bit of ink, or a little bit of paint. However, a scribe, a person who's constantly writing and constantly smears his hand, and a painter, they always have paint on their hands, they're not makbet. Okay? So that's built into Hilchois, Tvila, and Chatzitza, Izr HaPadona. Now, remember one thing, and that's going to be the Gemara's Kasha. So how did Abaye answer the Kasha? He answered that the Chengen Yin Tuma, the Mishnah itself is a little bit barren on the details. What Tuma are we referring to? Just as you're Makbet, then Choytzitz. You're not Makbet, ain't a Choytzitz. The question is, we didn't mention the word Chatzitz at all in Abaye's Pshat. We mentioned is the Gabi Tziruf of Tuma. When do I say that the botzik is mitzaref with other oichlin to form a mass of a sheer kebeya to be able to go and transmit tumah further down the line to other oichlin? But our Mishnah didn't say anything about tziruf. Our Mishnah said that if you're makbid, then it's choytzeit. Choytzeit has to do with chatzitza and the mikvah you're toiling. So sorry, that doesn't shtim with a bias pshat. And that, in fact, is Rava's kasha, maskul Rava. Miktoni mitzaref. Our Mishnah, the word tziruf doesn't appear. But choytzitz k'tani. It says that if you're makbet olav, it's choytzitz. When do we mention anything about chatzitza? And if Elam Rav, I have a brand new pshat. But once again, the brand new pshat again goes along the lines of Abaye. First we talk about Pesach, and then we talk about Shar Yemois Hashan. Elam Rav Achila, how is tar l'areva? This areva not only had problems with potential chometz in the corners and in the cracks and the crevices, it had another problem. Unfortunately, a dead sheret touched the areva, or an avela, or any other source of tumah. And the areva now is tumah. What do I want to do with areva? I want to go and toivel it in the mikvah. As I'm toiveling the mikvah, I notice that in some of the cracks, there's a little bit of botzik stuck there. And I'm wondering, do I have to kratz that out or not? This is a fairly common question you have today. People buy new glasses, new kelim, they want to take the mikvah, and then the stickers, and you try to remove the stickers, and it takes longer than the whole tefillah to put into the mikvah, the whole thing. So you gotta, are you makbet on? Not makbet. Most people are makbet. I don't want to leave my cutlery and my glasses having a sticker on the bottom and the top and the front. So it's and you have to go and remove it. Anyway, so bottom line is, you have these potential chatzitz issues. And here I have a chatzitz issue with this arev. I got the botzek besilke arev. So zogt yetzirav, oh hechi domi. Let me explain the details. Keep going. The itmi hachareva uboilatvulei, and he wants to toivel it to remove the tuma. Is bapeisach the isurei choshul choitzet. If there happens to be botzik of the shear of the kezayis, legabi hilchas pesach, that's a dover choshev, and the chachamim and our mishnah said, take out that botzik, eradicate it, remove it, destroy it. Because you're going to be over by your raw, by your matzah. No, so then it's over choshev. It doesn't blend into the walls and into the fabric of the areva. It's a separate entity which you have to remove. So it's choitzitz. So when I toiveled it and I put the areva into the wall, into the water 100 times up and down, chagunish katin, I didn't do anything because it's a chatzitza. However, if it's less than a kezayis, so then it becomes so insignificant. Legabi hilchas pesach, it's insignificant that you don't have to go and remove it. But rather, I say it blends and it becomes ashtik areva. So just like I'm toiling the areva, I'm toiling that little botzik, no problem. But that's legabi pesach, because by pesach the determining factor is. Is it a kezayis or is not a kezayis? B'shari Yemois Hashanah, where kezayis or not kezayis for chometz has absolutely no meaning, no relevance. So what is the determining factor of the gavi chatzitza? B'kpei detalya milza, imakbet olav, choytzitz, v'mreitzu v'kiyum, eri kareva. If you're makbet, get this piece out of here. It makes it look so ugly. It looks like I don't know how to go and rinse and clean out my areivas. It looks terrible. Oh, you have a problem, and it's choytzit lifnei hatuma, or not lifnei hatuma, lifnei hatvila, lifnei hamayim, and therefore the tvila will not be valid or effective. However, right to Mekiyumai, if he says, it doesn't bother me, come on, well, who cares? Well, yes, leave it there, it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. Ariya Karevin, it blends into the Arev itself, and then you can toivel it, even if it's more than a kazais, even if it's 12 kazais, because I don't care, it doesn't bother me. Good, so that's how the Gemara concludes this pshat, and once again, you see the difference between the Hilchos Pesach, where Pesach determines the Hilchos Chatzitza for Tumah v'Tahara on Pesach, while throughout the year, the Din of Kezayis for Pesach has nothing to do with it. It's irrelevant, and therefore we only look to Hakpoda and Horpad.
So is there any difference between Abaye and Rava, except in the language of the Mishnah, but in terms of the practical way they're learning it? They seem to be explaining it the same way, aren't
and
they?
And Rapop is going to explain it the same way too, but each time we are applying it to a different fact pattern. According to Abaye, the fact pattern of our Mishnah, when it says at the end of the Mishnah, that when it comes to Batik Besidki Arev, it depends on Hakpoda, yes or no. According to Abaye, it's like, it's about creating new Tumah in the form of Tumas Oichlin, that you have an Oichel which is less than a Kebeya. You have a Batik which is either a Kezayis or more than a Kezayis, less than a Kezayis. Is it Mitzarif or not to transmit Tumah to other Oichlin? Mm-hmm. So it depends whether it's Hilchos Pesach, then Kezayis or non-Kezayis is the determining factor. It's Meshari Yemois Hashanah, I could care less, your kazayis, nish kazayis. It has to do with mikpei de tal yimilta. That's according to Abaye, so we are creating new tumah by transmitting tumah to another oich. Are we creating? Are we not creating? Rava said, no, the Mishnah is not talking about creating new tumah, it's talking about eradicating old tumah because you're trying to go and toivel in the mikvah. Is it a chatzitza, yes or not? So during Pesach, if it's more than a kazayis, it's a chatzitza. During the rest of the year, who cares about a kazayis? It depends on hakpar. Now, with the benefit of the pshat of Rava over the pshat of Abaye is the text of the Mishnah, because it says in the text of the Mishnah, "Lachein le'inyan Pesach, chein inyan tumah." So that was one din. That's Pesach. Now, l'shari moish v'shani makbet olav choytzeit. According to Abaye, the word choytzeit doesn't apply. Tatzit has to do with mikvah; doesn't have to do with transmitting tumah. So therefore, Rava's pshat is better in terms of the text. But now we have another kasha: maskul l'rapapa miktoni v'chein le'inyan. Tara, hold the Indian Tomuktani. Rapapa says, Ravi, you're being so textually careful with a textual integrity. Right before that, it says, Vachem the Indian ha Tumma. L'choy, we should say, Vachem the Indian ha Tahara. We already have an Areva which is Tamea. We want to remove that. We want to turn on the Mikvah. So you should say, Vachem the Indian ha Tahara. You want it to be Matar in the Mikvah. If you're Makbid, it's Chatzitza. If you're not makbid, then it's okay. That will be better. And therefore, Rapapa says, that's why I have a third shot. Hello, Rapapa. We're talking about now, similar to Abaye, to creating new tumah, but not creating tumas oichlin in other oichlin, but creating tumah in the areva. What happened? You have this dead sheret. The dead sheret knows that this is a hot potato, this whole discussion, and therefore it says, I'm not going to touch the areva, I'm only going to touch the botzeik, which is the sidki areva. And then the sheret leaves the scene. Of course, we're talking about a dead sheret, but you get the idea. So this dead sheret only touched the botzeik, the sidki areva. Does the areva also become tame, yes or no? So now, if you're thinking to yourself, what difference does it make? If the sheret touched the batzik and the batzik became tameh, wouldn't the batzik be metameh the areva in turn? And the answer is no, because oichlin mashkin can only be metameh other oichlin mashkin. They cannot be metameh adam the kalim. Rather, mashke can be metameh kalim. That's midrabanan. Exactly, a special din. But normally it could not. So therefore, but we're not talking about mashkin anyway. We're only talking about oichel. Oichel cannot be metamei kelim. So therefore, if you say that this batze became tamei, as far as the areva is concerned, I could care less. You cannot be metamei me. However, if the batze is considered to be part of the fabric of the areva, it's just as if the sherets touch the areva itself, because the batze is just—it's like the button to the suit. It's the thread of the garment. This batzik, if it's part and parcel of the areva, then it's as if the sherets touch the areva. Oh, so how do we determine that? Zakhtar Papa, very simply. Nochmo, ki going to noga sherets b'hai batzik. V'pei, sachti surei, choshev. If you have agantza kizayis, which is so harsh that the rabbi said in our Mishnah, take it out, eradicate it, destroy it, because of the Isra Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. So you see that it's not part of the Areva. It's separate on its own. So then only the Batzik becomes Tameh and not the rest of the Areva. Therefore the rest of the Areva will not the rest. The Areva will not become Tameh, only the Batzik and not the Areva. However, if it's less than the Kazai, since less than Kazai, it's like the Areva itself. So it's as if the Sheretz didn't touch the Batzik, but it touched the Areva itself. And the Areva becomes Tameh. But that's only Pesach, because Pesach, the Hilchos Pesach, are the determining factor as to whether or not this is a Dover Choshev, if it's Choytzeh, or it's not a Dover Choshev, and it's not Choytzeh. B'shar Yemoyz HaShoda, throughout the rest of the year, where whether it's a Kazayis or not, has absolutely no relevance, because we're allowed to eat Chametz throughout the year. Who cares? Then it's B'teida Talia. Then the determination, the determining factor as to whether or not this is considered to be a Chatzitza, determines whether I want it there, or I don't want it there. In Makbet Olav, if he says, I'm one of those very strict guys, I don't want to even see a speck. I used to be in the army, and therefore when I saw, even if my shoes were not totally polished, I'd get a reprimand from my sergeant or whatever. So therefore it has to be spotless. So if I'm Makbet Olav, then if the sheretz only touched that, the Areva does not become Tomek, because I'm not allowing it to be bottled to the Areva. Therefore, Choytzit. If Reutze Bekiyumah, if he says, ah, come on, don't, I'm not so meticulous or scrupulous, let it be. Oh, so then you're leaving it there to be part of the Areva. And therefore, if the Sheretz touch the Batzeg, then the Areva becomes Tomek. So you see that all three Pshatim of Abaya, Rav and Rapapa, all use the same approach, that during Pesach time, Hilchos Tumah will be dependent on Hilchos Pesach, in terms of whether this Batzik is a Dover Choshev or not, and throughout the rest of the year, it has nothing to do with the Shiur, it has to do with the Kpeda. Am I Makbid? Not Makbid. The benefit of Rav Papa's Pshat over the Pshat of Rava is elementary, because now it says in the Mishnah, V'chein Le'inyin Tumah, you want to create new Tumah in the Areva? It depends. If it's Choytzeh, it's not. Doesn't create Tumah the Areva, because it's a separate entity on its own. So the Batzik becomes Tumah, but not the Areva. However, if he's not Matbid, then it becomes part of the Areva, and then the Areva itself will also become Tumah. So this, the words of Chemin and Tumah are more appropriate than according to Rava when he was talking about Mikveh and Tahara. Good. And we start a brand new Mishnah, Zokta Mishnah Vaita Batzik. What's the next word? Poshit says Rashi means Batzik HaChereish. What's a cheresh? A cheresh is normally a deaf mute. Cheresh shoytev v'katan. In this case, the botzek is like a deaf mute, says Rashi, that you cannot tell whether or not this botzek has become chometz or not. Rashi says the woman, or the nachtoim that was working on this botzek, worked on it for a while. It has now become hichsifu panav. It is now pale-faced. However, I do not see any dekani chagov. I don't see any cracks in it. So I'm wondering to myself, has this dough become chometz or not? Why is it compared to a cheresh? Because when you look at a cheresh from afar, and even from near, until you start trying to communicate with this cheresh, the cheresh looks like everybody else. You look at the cheresh, he has eyes and ears and a nose and toes, and looks like everybody else. It's only when you start talking to him, then you realize, unfortunately this person is hard of hearing, or may not be able to hear at all, and he's hard of speech. That's because he's a deaf mute, etc., etc. So therefore, the botik is like a cheresh, which means I cannot determine, just based on superficial vision, I cannot determine whether this is chometz or not. That's the first pshat. That's going to be mentioned on Dachnum Ches. Again, a machlokes, what that's called CR. That's going to be mentioned another three blocks. Our Gemara is not, our Mishnah doesn't get into the machlokes. It just assumes for the time being that Chsifu Panav, you cannot determine based on that alone whether it's chometz or not. We're going to have to bring in external evidence. Okay. You're right. But the Mishnah on Mem Ches is going to talk about that machlokes are made of Yehuda as the din of Siyar, whether or not Siyar is chometz, not chometz. It should deal with that at greater length at that time.
How long of a time window are we talking about here? Because
we're going to see in a moment. The Gemara is going to address that. So that's the first pshat of Rashi, that it's cheresh. The second pshat of Rashi is cheres. Look upon the sin as if it was a samach, and it's like a kli cheres. Kli cheres meaning that it's like a piece of earthenware which is flat, and you can't tell if it's rising, not rising. It's just a flat piece of crockery. Let's take a quick look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. Potik acheres says Rashi, she'ein nikar im hechmitz im lav. You cannot tell whether it became chometz or not, whether it's leavened. She'meshunahi kecheres. It's meshuna. It looks different, like a cheres. Kecheres hazeh. She'esh li asnayim. He has ears. Ve'ein nikar im shemayim lav. You cannot tell just by looking at him whether he can hear. Then odom uimin al birurei v'aldati. You cannot figure out what's in his mind and what he wants to say, what he wants to do, because unfortunately he's a cheresh. So here too, I cannot determine the status of this batzik. Lishlachrin, another pshat, batzik acheresh, kosher kecheres. It's as hard as a piece of earthenware. Then a nikar shehechmet. You look at the piece of earthenware, you feel it. It's a hard piece. You can't tell your nisht. Ratzalaymer here too hechsifu pano ve'in siduk l'simen achimet. If it would have seen it, then everybody would agree, Avada, you see the leavening process has begun. But since it's only Chlifu Panav, you really can't tell yet your Tanish. What do you do to determine whether or not this is Chometz? So says the Mishnah. What happens if there's a second baker who's baking and who's rolling the dough at the exact same time, and that other baker, you can see that it has Hechmetz. They both started at the exact same moment at 8:15. And now it's 12 minutes later. My batzik is like a cheresh, or like a cheres. I cannot determine. However, I see my next door neighbor who's been doing the same amount of work that I have. It's not as if I'm working quicker or slower or putting more pressure, less pressure. We're doing exactly the same thing. And that other baker, guess what? I see that that Isa, in fact, is beginning to rise. Oh, so even though mine, for some reason, unexplained reason, has not risen. However, I see my next door neighbor's one has risen. Therefore, I'm going to assume that this is chometz as well. And Hari Zeh also next Rashi the very same time, same lisha. And that has risen. So even though mine hasn't risen yet, clearly, I mean, I haven't seen it rise because it's kecheresh, but I know. Inside it, it's already leavened, and it's already chametz. So the obvious question is, that's very good if I have a comp, the comps, right? When you ever want to do projections, and you want to do, appraisals, the simi has a good feel for this. If you want to be a broker to go and rent out properties, you do comps, and you say, well, on this street it's more, and that street it's less, and there's more property, it's ups, it's down.
Control and experiment. You have a control and exactly. Variable.
So here I have a comp. But what happens in Einchum Kiyotzbe? What happens if I don't have another dough next door to be able to look at and say, oh, this rose or didn't rise? Now, what do I do? Then it depends how long have you been working with this dough. If it takes the amount of time of walking from Migdal Nunya to Tveria, and how much?
It's 18 minutes.
So the shear is a mil. How much is a mil? Zoktach, brother Shai, that's 18 minutes. Although in the Mishnah Berurah, he brings other shiurim of 22 minutes, 24 minutes, but the Olam is noy taka 18 minutes, that if you've been working on this dough for 18 minutes, and you haven't put it into the oven yet, it is chometz. That's why in all the Shemir Matzah bakeries, every 18 minutes, they always go and change the tablecloth, and they go and wash out all the kalim. Everybody has to wash out their hands, and then the rolling pins have to be scraped down. Everything within 18 minutes because of this.
And then he charges $25, $30 a pound.
That's a separate story. We're now talking about the 18-minute rule. We're not talking about prices. So now the Gemara says, Freight, you have a name, a mill. Why do you have to tell us Migdal Nunya? I don't even know where Migdal Nunya is. I don't know if it exists today, presumably not. So now the question is, why did the Gemara bother telling that Migdal Nunya is Tveri's mill? So if you have a name, a mill, this year, the mill, the Migdal Nunya be out Tveri. For those of you that don't know exactly how long is a mill, go from Migdal Nunya, travel to Tveria, you'll see that that is exactly a mill, and that takes 18 minutes, and that's the shear for chimetz. Good. That answers your question, Barry. You asked before how much time we're talking about. So if you have another batzik next to you, check it out. If you have no other batzik, just see the clock. If it's more than 18 minutes, then you have to suspect that it's chometz. Bavo Reb Shimon Lakish, legadel uletfila uletias yedoyim arba milah. Now this is unrelated to our Gemara in Hilchos Pesach. However, since it also talks about shiurim involving milah, The Gemara felt this is the appropriate place to put this mem. What means the gabel tefillah umtil sidai? The gabel, says Rashi, means if I happen to be a person who is a kneader with a K, I go and knead dough for a living. People hire me to go and come into their kitchens or to take their dough or their kemach, their flour, and to knead it in my kitchen, and I work on it and I make a nice batter, and presumably if I'm a baker I put it in the oven, I bake it. So that's my job, I am the gabel. Now normally I'm always careful that when I go and do my kneading, I want to produce an isa, a batter, a dough, which is tahar. To make sure that it's tahar, I have to do it in kalim which are tahar. The problem is that I'm using the kalim of the person, my employer, who hired me to go and do this gibel, to do this kneading. And I'm afraid that his kalim and nebuch were tmeim. So what do I have to do? I have to take it to the mikveh. Unfortunately, there's no mikveh right next door where I happen to be. So what you have to do is you have to go until 4 milen if there's a mikveh. I'm here on 91st Street. I know there's a mikveh in 74th Street. I know that that mikveh is within 4 mil. I have to take the kalim to that mikveh, toivulem, and then bring them back and do the gibel. However, if I find out that the only mikveh is on 181st Street, far away, then the chum will not matriach me to go and do it. Or, for that matter, I can charge more. I can go and say, the standard rate is $5 an hour for my gibel, but if that includes local mikveh, but if I have to go to 181st Street, then I'm going to go and charge you another $5 or $10 for the extra time allowed. So that's the din of gibel. Up to 4 milim, you have to be matriach based on whatever arrangement you make.
Otherwise, we assume that we let it go, and we say that it's considered tahor?
No, then he has to go and tell the balabas, I did the gibel like you asked me to, but I have to tell you, I did not go and tovel these kalim, because I heard the closest mikveh was 5 miles away, beyond my 4 mil, and therefore
you have to eat it in the school. You can't eat it with tachim or it's tummy.
Exactly. If he happens to be a person who's makbet eat everything but tahara, he's going to have to sell it and give it to somebody else, or give it to his wife during those days where she happens to be tamei, or during the days he happens to be tamei. But otherwise, you won't be able to go and use this dough or any chalas that grew out of this dough, or baked as a result of the dough. So that's the God. Ula Tvila. Tvila says Rashi is talking about a person who's traveling. And at night, he's stopping in a given place. Next day, he has to go and daven. Or for that matter, he has to daven Marv at night. So says Rashi, if there happens to be a shul within 4 mil, he should not say, okay, I will go and daven in my hotel room. There's no shul in my immediate vicinity. You have to go until 4 mil. Means you have to go and travel up to 72 minutes to get to a shul to daven. If the closest shul is 3 hours away, then you're off the hook and you can daven bichis. The same thing applies if I want to go and wash for bread, wash for a meal. If I know that there's water within 4 mil, I cannot go and say, well, I have no water, what should I do? You got to go and travel the 4 mil to get water to go and wash for the bread. What happens if there is no water within 4 mil? Either you don't eat bread, or you have to go and cover your hands with gloves or something else, with a towel.
Chatzitza.
Exactly, chatzitza, and not touch the bread itself, because you cannot go and eat bread without having washed your hands.
This is in Tumma.
No, we're not talking about Tumma per se, we're talking about nowadays. You and I, if we want to go and we want to eat a piece of bread, we want to eat a roll, and we have to wash. If there's no water here, but there's water within 4 mil, I got to walk 4 mil to get the water before I wash.
That's 18 times 4, right?
Exactly, 72 minutes. There's in fact a machloikis among the later poskim. What happens if we're not talking about walking? A person is going to go and use a car. So do you go and say, okay, I went 4 mil? Or do you go and say 72 minutes? That would already be, 20 miles.
72 hours, 72 miles.
72 or 60 hours.
Theoretically, you're going 60 miles an hour.
On a highway, right?
Exactly. So there's a shaila about that.
You have to pay tolls.
You have to pay tolls. That's also exactly. Anyway, so all those are part of the modern day shailas. But for our purposes, our Gemara is talking about a person who's walking on foot, and he's saying, for the tilus yidayim, you have to have water to wash. You have to walk up to 72 minutes to get that water.
Bam, just as
it. Yes.
During the Holocaust, the Kerev in Memphis moved his family to a place like they deprived to have just a, for Pesach to be in a resort. Right? So they didn't have enough water, so when they washed their hands, There were three on top. There was
underneath it.
They didn't have enough water to actually
eat. People do in summer camps, they don't have water from his dime. They stack their cans and then somebody pours
water. How
does that
work, the water that comes out?
It's called shiritara. You can have one revias and
matire.
Can be matire several hands.
Even though it comes tummy after it's the first hand?
Yeah, because it doesn't really come tummy. No real tummy.
It's one of the zeris.
Exactly. So one of the halachas is that if you only have a revias, you can, two people can wash, but you can't wash consecutively. It has to be the same time, one underneath the other. So we got to pour from the top and let it drip down. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Oh, so now who said this halacha? This was Reb Avohu, Amar Reb Shimon Lakish. Amar Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. You made a mistake. It wasn't a babo. It was Aivu Amra. After all, Avohu and Aivu are very similar.
Rav's father, right?
Aivu was Rav's father. Yeah, I don't know if it's the same Aivu. It could be a different Aivu.
Okay.
After all, you know, you have different names. Good. Different people.
Aivu and Daftal and Ronald.
Good. Very good. But not necessarily talking about the same Aivu. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, he didn't say three halachas. He said four halachas: the gabel, the tefillah, and the tilsitoyim. And the fourth one is ibud. What's the ibud? Not under the Mishnah. The kulin sheibda oyer shehilach behad kedei avoida tochoyrin chutz mi oyer ha'adam. What are we talking about? We have over here an oyer of a behem, a skin. That skin had attached with some meat, and a sheretz fell on the meat or on the skin, and as a result, the skin became tamei. You want the skin now to become tar. Or Rashi says it could be talking about in the Mishnah and the Gemara and the Sechtes Chulin in Perek or Varoitiv, there's a Mishnah that says Elu she'oreseyen mitamen kibsar, meaning that the skin is so thin, like the skin, for instance, on a chicken, right, is so thin that it's edible. Since it's edible, it has the same status like basar. Normally, oil which is thick, if you only have the hide and it's sherry to touch it, if it's not developed yet into a fed to a kli, so then it's neither a kli nor an oichel, it wouldn't be makabel tumah. However, if it happens to be so thin that it is edible, then it has a din just like ochlen, and it can be makabel tumah. Okay, so now you have this oil that was thin, and in fact was makabel tumah, and now you want to go and make it tar. How do you make it tar? Says the Mishnah, kulin she'ibdan, if you took the skin, the hide, and now you processed it and made it now into a kli. For instance, you made it into leather for leather shoes, or you made it for a tishtach, you made it a tablecloth, or you made it for a bedspread, or a mat on the floor. You worked on it. Or you put it down on the ground and you told everybody, you know, walk on it as if it was a doormat and everybody should walk and no problem. Then it can become tahirin just by the ibud or by the people walking on it. Chutz mi ara adam, except for if chas v'shalom, if you're talking about that the hide or the skin is nebuch from a human being, then these halachas don't apply. The Rishon doesn't apply. Rashi doesn't go into it, but the Gemara in Masechtas Chulin says the reason is because I'm afraid people might go and take the oiras of their parents, right, and have them as souvenirs or mementos, and they're going to go and make a kli out of it and say, oh, this is my tata, this is my mama. Nebuch, people who are slightly deranged. Anyway, Freddy Marva Kama Kadeh Avoida. But what does that mean? Shehilach Ben Kadeh Avoida. What does that mean? So Omer up here it says in Yem, but on the side it says Omer Bavo, Omer Aibu. Omer Yana Kadeh Hilach Arba Milen. Oh, the amount of time that it takes to walk 4 milen. Meaning that if you put this doormat out on the ground and people are walking on it for a period of 72 minutes, that's already enough to go and cause it to be Kadeh Ibud, that it loses its shame as an old skin. Now it's called a professional hide, and guess what? The tumor goes away. Good. So
doesn't it make it into a kli, and therefore it should, or is it a new kli?
It's a new kli, and now if you have a new something touches it,
where did the tumor go?
It went away because it's no longer the skin that it was before. It's panim chadoshes bo'kan, and if a new source of tumor comes, we'll worry about it then. But hopefully, he'll be careful; it won't become.
It could be a small piece, and it doesn't have the shear of a tumor. For shiram or neem.
Okay. Anyway, so that's the fourth halach of the Arba Milen. Omer Beizer Rukhanina, Loishanu El Lefonav. This din of the four Milen is if it's in front of you. Av the Achra Lefilin Mil Eimer Chayse. Now, this halach is specifically referring to the traveler guy. Who's the traveler? That's the one that wants the tefillah, he wants to go and daven. and he's now in a hotel. He has to check out whether there's going to be, and he's continuing to go from this place to another place. In other words, he's still on the road, still traveling. If there's going to be a base tefila, a base of Knesset within 4 milim, he shouldn't stop over here. He should say, okay, I'm going to move to the next hotel, which is close to the other shul, and he should go and daven over there, and then continue further on his way tomorrow and the next day, etc., etc. Same thing applies to the Netilas Yadayim. I need water, so I'm traveling, that's why I don't have any water with me. I drunk up all the water that I had with me. So, you have to, if you found out that there's water within 4 mil, then you have to walk the 4 mil, get the water, and wash your hands, and then travel further. But that's the fun of Al-Akhrab. What happens if you found out that within the next 4 mil, there's no water? But guess what? I remember the previous station where I was yesterday did have water, so do I have to go back to my previous station? Said, no, the Akhrab, I fill a mil in a chos. You don't have to go back even a mil. Not only, you don't have to go back 4 mil, but even 1 mil. But I'm Ravacha, you know, however, we may die from that mil Buddha in a chos. A Pachas bin mil chos. If it's 0.9 of a mil, then you do have to go back. That's not considered to be such a major tircha. Got to go back, either for davening or for purposes of washing your hands. But if it's a mil or more, then you don't have to go back. You only have to go forward and see whether it's within 4 mil or not. On to the next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Kates and Mafrish and Chala B'Tumah B'Yomtev. I got a big problem. I have an Issa, which unfortunately became Tameh. And now I have to be Mafrish Chala Minho Issa. Can I be Mafrish that Chala on Yomtev to give to the Kohen? What are the options and what are the problems? So Rashi tells us, L'choyra, there would be three options, and each one of these three are going to be problematic. What's the problem? Because the kohen cannot eat from this challah after you mafresh the challah, because it's tameh. Challah tameh is like truma tameh. The most you can go and do is burn it. You can't go and eat from it. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go and take the challah off, and I'm going to go and bake it on Yom Tov, on Pesach, in the oven. After it's fully baked, guess what happens? We give it to Kohen. Kohen says, I can't eat it anyway.
Burn it.
But the point is, since I cannot use it, it's a tircha d'loy tzarech on Yom Tov. When the Torah was matir cooking on Yom Tov, that's only cooking that you have use for. You can't go and cook on Yom Tov and put it in the freezer for a month from now. It has to be readily edible. But I can't go and eat from this challah because it's, unfortunately it's time. So that l'choy is not an etzah to go and bake it. Elamai, okay, I'll just take that piece of challah, leave it on the shelf, and I'll wait until tonight. Guess what happens? By the time tonight comes along, it'll be more than 18 minutes, it's going to become chometz. I'll have chometz in my rishus. That's not a good etzah. Oh, I have a good idea. Let's do like we do today. Go and take the challah, be mafresh it, and burn it immediately on the spot before it becomes chometz. I can't do that either. Why not? Says Rashi, because ain't sorfin kodshim b'yontiv. And challah and truma have the same status like kodshim and challah to go and burn them on yontiv. So what am I going to do with this challah of the isid ha-tameya? So blaz oimel etikul hashem machatiyof. You know what you should do? Don't be mafresh challah mino isa. Leave the challah in. Bake as many matzahs as you want, 5, 10, 20, 25 matzahs, 50 matzahs, and then after you've baked them all, since at the time that you baked them, each one of them is roi lachila for a non-koyin, it's not ketame. But if I'm not makbid to eat my chumim b'tahara, I can eat every one of them. So then I baked it and I wouldn't over any shayla. Now, after I finish baking, I'll go and take one challah and I'll put it aside for the koyin. The kohen says, I can't go and eat it. Fine, you won't eat it, you'll burn it, that's okay. But I didn't do any iser to loy tzarech on yontem, even though I know that eventually one of them I'm going to put away for challah, and we're not going to be able to use it on yontem. But since each and every one of them I could point to and say, yeah, I can eat this one. In other words, like a sort of yesh breyer, ein breyer, that each one of them I could eat. I could eat this one, I could eat this one, because I can be mafresh the challah from the other one, from this one, from that one. Rashi says, more than that, you can go and be mafresh challah from every single matzah. Break off from every single matzah a little piece. This will be for the kohen, the challah, this little piece, and this. So every single matzah I can go and bake, because it's only a small little piece that I'm giving away for challah. So that would be the etzah.
Can we establish a shear for a challah?
Yes, you, I'm sure you remember.
Right, 1/24th and 1/48th, depending if you're a homeowner or a banker. A
commercial banker, 1/24th and 1/48th. So it's a small percentage, 2 or 4% roughly. Good. So that is Reb Lezer. So I have my Eitzah, don't be mafish chalav. Eitzah be mafish chalav from the fed to get from the finished product. Then the Seder Oimer, tatal betzoinen. Today would say put it in the freezer. In other words, be mafish chalav and don't let it rise. How? Put it in the freezer. It will stay there until after Shabbos, after Yom Tov that is. And then after that, you can go and give it to the client, and then the client can burn it or whatever. Amr Mishua. Loizu chomich imushon olav abayiro abayimotze. Says Rabbi Yeshua, I have a much better eitzah. You don't have to put it in the freezer. This challah that you're talking about, you're not going to be chayiv on a bayirah bayimah. What do you mean? Because if I'm going to go and be mafish challah in the isa and put it aside, don't bake it now. Because if I'm going to go and bake it now, I'm going to have a problem of making a tirchad loitzara chanyant. Fine. So just leave it. Oh, leave it, but it's going to become chametz. Fine, it'll become chametz. It's no different than when I'm going here in the street and I pass by a bakery belonging to a non-Jewish owner. I'm not oivr by yiro by imatze. It's not mine. The owner is not oivr because he happens to be a goy. So, what's the issue over here? But the challah belongs to me. The challah doesn't belong to me. The challah I have to give to the kohen. It's not mine. It's like shalcho I ataroya ataroya shalachin v'shal gavoya. This challah doesn't belong to me. It belongs in a sense to the Rabbeinu Shlomo until I designate a kohen to give it to. But the vaal, if you will, it's in limbo, it's in no man's land, it doesn't belong to me. And so therefore, lo yuzeh chometz, that is not the chometz that you muzer lo bayiro v'yimotze. El mafrish osa, bimafrish l'chala, minich osa, leave it out of Erev, v'yimachlit v'mitz, if it turns chometz, it's not my problem. Ah, you're going to tell me it's the koyin's problem? Says Rashi, it's not the koyin's problem either, because the koyin doesn't own it. He doesn't have it. Look at the top, Rashi. Lo yuzeh chometz, kirifash v'yimotze, the love of the day, it's not his. Even he says it's chal, it's not mine. So nobody's responsible for it. So just leave it there on the table, leave it in the sink, in the basin, whatever you want. Becomes chometz, becomes chometz, and then we'll deal with it after Yom Tov. It's not my issue. Not over bali ro bali mat. Okay. So now the choyer, what Rabbi Yeshua is saying, is true. So what was Rabbi Lezer so nervous about that he said, no, don't be mafish chalo, wait until it's baked. What is the essential machloikis between them? So do you want to leave it to Visanoka Miflagi? Let us say the machloikis is betoivis hanoh. Rabbi Lezer saw it to Visanoh mamoin. Rabbi Yeshua saw it to Visanoh, ain't a mamoin. What do you mean toivis hanoh? Although I don't own the chala, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a blessing, in the sense that I can determine which coin I want to give it to. So now, if it's a small little piece of challah, no big deal. But what happens if I bake twice 100 pounds or 500 pounds, and the one out of 24, one out of 48, that could add up to a substantial amount. So now I am to be a next door neighbor, and I know that my neighbor bakes always this huge amounts and quantities of batter at one time, and then there's a huge challah that's given. And I have an enikul who's a koyin, and my enikul koyin is learning full time in koyil, and he's a grace of Talmud Chacham, but the panos is a bissel shvach. So I asked my next door neighbor, could you do me a favor? Every time when you are mafish, your challah, could you give it to my enikul? He says, why should I give it to your enikul? I was going to give it to somebody else. I have a lot of friends, koyhanim, that could use it. My enikul needs panos. No. Okay, but what does it have to do with me? By the way, if I give you a dollar or two, oh, now we're talking business. Oh, Yosha, I love your ankle. $1 is not going to do it, but for $10, I'll be happy to give it to your ankle. So that's what we call tevesana. The amount that a person could command. We're not suggesting a person should ask for this type of payment. But however, if a person were willing to go and take payment for selecting a particular koyim for the challah, how much is that worth? $2, $5, $10? Oh, das ist Geld. So therefore, this challah, you said that if I let the challah just stay there in the basin and rise over yontif, it's not mine. To a certain extent, it is mine. I have a financial interest in this challah to the extent of the $2 or $5 that I would get if I were to select a particular coin, one over the other, and somebody is willing to pay me. Yes?
Is it mutter?
It's mutter, yeah.
So if that's the case, then I'm going to have to not say it's moment. It's like anything else.
Oh, yeah, but the question is, it's not cash in the bank. This is financial rights.
You don't cash, you don't monetize it. You often just give it up.
But what I'm saying like this, you have a car, right?
Yeah.
Car, you're going to sell your car, it's worth money, right?
For sure.
So if there's such a thing that the Schwerers would like to have their enemas get paid, there's a value to it.
That's Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer and Reb Simcha Ilan are mamish on the same page.
No. I always got meant that, for example, you've got a curry favor with the next name is a kohen.
That's another expression, Tim and I. Here, Doug, is an unmute.
You know,
since
he's my
pet, you're doing fine.
So he'll hug my
look, look at the Rashi, right after the Mishnah.
It's not moment of
that. You're saying beautifully. Look at the Rashi, right after the Mishnah. Third line for the top, Doug, is fourth line. Dover Mut, a small amount, $1, $2, $5, the sign it. We learned in the Brayis from Sechus B'Choyis. Rishoi Yisrael Loi Melech Haveira. A Yid is allowed to tell this Chavar. Hey, look, sell it. Here, I'm giving you a seller. I'm giving you $1, $5. The 10 Kotum Meisech Leben Biti Koin. Please, do me a favor and give all your Tumas and all your Chalas to my Enikol, who is a Koin. I'm Yisrael. I can't use it, but my Enikol is a Koin. Behind the Tumas said, no. What's the Tumas said, no? Sheyesh Lo Yisrael B'Chalazu. The baker that owns this Chala, he has a certain financial interest at stake. He can give it to any coin he wants to. You can't take it from the coin himself, because that would be a zilzul in the matnas kahuna. So if the coin comes to you and says, give me all the truma, I'll pay you $5, you're not allowed to do that. However, if the coin's zeder or shver, or Ihava, his good friend, says, I'll give you $5, give it to the coin, then you're allowed to do that. Yeshua, she ain't no right. So therefore, says Rashi, Rabbi Lazar, Sabbatai, said, no, Mamain, Favi ha chalat kididei, it's like his challah, the over Allah, imach mitza, gabe, he'll cook off elaboration, so he has to go and bake it. That's Rabbi Lazar, and that's Rabbi Simcha. Rabbi Yeshua, Sabbatai, said, no, ain't a moment, v'lav didayhu, even though he has rights to receive $1, $2, $5, but that's not the challah itself, that's not the Issa over here. The Issa, you have to go and this is an external type of thing. It's not related to the Issa itself. We should be called Nami Leka because he didn't get to the coin's hand yet. So the point is, Avad, everybody agrees that you have the right to accept a dollar or two for the right to select to which coin I'm going to give the Chala. But does that make the Chala yours? Or that's just an external thing. It's an additional right.
It's external.
Oh, so that's Rabbi Yeshua. So now you're
it's
changing. Oh, so Rabbi Lazar holds that it's Sefer Sanah Mamayin, and that's why it's Chala belongs to him. Oh, but is the Chala his or not? We are trying to determine. Oh, so that's Rabbi Yeshua. So Baruch Hashem, you're able to go and argue both sides.
The question is Torah Hanok, correct?
Yes, exactly. You see that's a machlokes.
But machlokes about Torah Hanok is mom or not?
That's the blessing.
Can you kash a woman with it? That's the question.
Can you kash?
Can you kash a woman with Torah Hanok?
Yeah, according to the blessing, yes. According to Yeshua, no.
That's only the
determining factor. The example that Chama gave, yes.
Mom means actual making mom.
Absolutely.
So even with Yeshua, it is mom.
Yeah. Let's. You're in the brokerage business. Let me ask you a question. If you have a landlord that wants to rent out space to a tenant, who owns this space?
The landlord.
You have successfully, Baruch Hashem, brokered an agreement to go and lease the space to a tenant for the next 10 years. And you're entitled as a result to go and get blank amount of money.
Sure.
Does that make you an owner of the space?
Me personally?
Yes.
Well, I'm getting paid for my
services. But you're getting paid for your services too?
Hold on.
I'm holding, I'm not
taking,
running anywhere.
He has two identities. He's the owner, but he's also the broker. He has the person with the dough has two functions. He's the owner, but he's also the broker who's assigning it to whoever he wants. Yeah. As the owner, it's his. As the broker, it's not.
Is that
enhancing the explanation? Yes.
So I'll say one thing. Toilet Sanah means that I have the right to give the call to what they kind of want.
Exactly.
Hold on. That means I have the right to sell my right to give it to whoever I want. I don't own
it. Exactly.
But the Toilet Sanah. That's
a sellable, that's a tradable thing.
As a matter of fact, I can say one straight.
For sure. But that's not chometz. That is not, it's dough in the colloquial sense, but it's not dough in the form of kemah. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's mammon, it's money.
Why did Yeshua say, I'm just going to give money?
In a mammon.
So,
you want to be sure side? It is mammon. The mammon is for sure mammon. The question is whether this challah is his. The broker doesn't own the space.
He has two functions. The owner of the dough has two functions. He's the owner and the broker. What is meant by owner?
Okay, so that's a machlokes Reb Lezer Mishua. This right to receive a dollar, is that considered to be ownership of the challah? Or this is an externally for their service, for their right to select? Okay, so
that's rent by owner. For rent by owner. The owner gets the broker's fee.
Okay, good. So Reb Lezer Sabbatai is in a moment, and therefore you have to wait until you bake it, because if you're going to go and separate a piece, it's going to be my challah until I hand it over to the kohen, and I'm going to be over by your own. Mishua Sabbatai is in a moment, even though I'm entitled to receive money, but that's not the challah. I'm receiving external money. That's not the challah itself. The challah itself is not mine. It's hefker. It doesn't belong to anybody until I give it to the kohen. So therefore, it's enam, and that's why I can be mafreshin and mechmit zechmit. If the kohen, that's the machloikis. The kuli am besabit is not enam. Come on, you're entitled to money, but that's not the challah itself. What's the hoyel? We've had this hoyel already before. This is a different form of hoyel. The Rebbe says, "Omrin and hoyel, the boy itchel Allah mamaynehu." Because after all, any type of neder that you make, says Rashi, a neder to go and give money to somebody to eat, to drink, to do whatever, or if you're makdish something, or if you're mafresh truma, in this case is mafresh challah, after you finish doing it, what happens if you regretted your decision and you changed your mind? You always have the right to go to the Chochem, and the Chochem, if you can find a Pesach, to go and be oikir your neder. So even though I designated this piece to be challah, guess what? I can go to the Chochem and say, this challah, this is really not so nice. I want to keep the other matzah over there. I don't want to keep this one, I give that one. Eh, it's too small, it's too puny to this. Blah, blah, blah. And if the Rav accepts that, you can go and undo the entire challah nature of this piece of challah. Since you could undo it, uh-oh, it could revert to being my mammon all along. Because when you do that type of het in the dorm, it works for mafreya. And therefore, you would say, hoyl, the boy, itch Allah, then mamaynehu, then it could revert to being my mammon. Oh, I got to be careful. I cannot go and let it turn into chametz. I got to bake it right now. Rav Shua Savar, loyimrin hoyl. We don't say hoyl. Yeah, of course, I could go to the rabbi. I could. But if I don't, it's going to remain the way it is. Challah, and it's not mine. As we know, after Yontif is over, the next day is going to be a weekday. What happens if I baked on the last day of Yontif for the next day for Choy? Am I allowed to do that? Because you get Malkus. You don't get Malkus. So here too we have a din of Hoyle. It's not the same as the Hoyle that we had until now, but it's similar. What is the halacha of the Hoyle? The hoyel is that, again, you're not allowed to do a tircha de leitzorich on yontif, although you're allowed to go and cook and bake, but it's leitzorich yontif, but not for baking and then putting away chalas in the freezer for the next 6 weeks. It's got to be for yontif. Okay. What happens if I already ate yontif day? I had already a whole meal with my family and everybody, and Baruch Hashem, we're all satisfied. I don't need to bake or cook anymore today because we're all done. Nevertheless, Rabbi says, you know what? Unexpectedly, in an hour from now, you might hear some knocking at the door. You open the door. Who are you? Sorry, we just arrived from outer space. Unfortunately, we have not eaten the last 3 days. We're hungry. Come around, Avada, of course. Achnosis Orchim. We learned from Avram Avinu. So I have to be prepared for the potential of Orchim coming. So I need to go and bake and cook now because Hoyle, maybe Orchim will come on the scene. I don't say that maybe Orchim might come. You know, when they come, we're worried about it then. But in the meantime, I have none on the agenda. I don't expect anybody, so I'm not allowed to bake, and I'm baking.
Mikla means what, Mikla?
Mikla means arrive.
Thank you.
Rabba Omar ain't like you don't get Malkus. I mean, hoyl, you do say hoyl Miklai Orchim. Maybe Orchim will arrive on the scene, and therefore I'm going to have to serve them. So I got to be prepared. I have to have something in the refrigerator. Now, obviously, you can go and bake, you know, 1,000 pounds, but the normal amount for
a reasonable amount,
exactly. Ain't like Omri Rabba of Chizda. Liyadoch the Amris Loy Omri and hoyl. Heich oifin miyontif v'shabbos. As we know, if yontif comes out on Friday, you're allowed to bake and you're allowed to cook l'kovid Shabbos. How are you allowed to go and do that? L'choyah isn't the reason. Let's assume that you've already eaten Friday and you're fully stocked in your stomach. You have nothing, you don't need to eat anything more. Nevertheless, you can go and cook chulent and fish and everything in the Kovit Shabbos. How are you allowed to go and do that? Isn't it based on the hoyel as was that ikloy le'orchim, orchim may come today, and that's why I'm allowed to today go and bake and cook for them? I'm going to have nothing to do with orchim. Misha made it with Avshilin, he made an Erev Avshilin. If you're telling me that you're not allowed to go and do a tircha on yontif for another day, it's got to be for today, not for another day. So it's a deraisa of cooking for naught. It's a tircha d'leitzorach on yontif. You're over on hilchas bishul and hilchas havara. How can you do that? You're allowed to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. The reason it says Rashi, because Yontif is also called Shabbos. We know Yontif is called Shabbos from the Sheva Shabbos, the Tzmimis Tiyana, that we have the Mochas of Shabbos Hashviyas, Tishra Chamishim Yoim, so Yontif is called Shabbos. Reb Simcha, if you want to go in for a moment, but that's up to you. I'm not saying it. He's standing at the door. So, sorry. So getting back to the but take it tomorrow along so you can learn together with us. So what's halacha? So min ha-toira, since Yontif is also Ikri Shabbos, so just like you're allowed to go and cook for Yontif, you're allowed to cook for Shabbos, because Yontif is Ashtik Shabbos. But you're not going to cook Shabbos for Yontif, because there's no heter. Achashi yochel chol nefesh, hu levadi yosel lechem. That is only said by Yontif. But Yontif is called Shabbos. Since it's called Shabbos, halacha is min ha-toira, you're allowed to go and cook from Yontif to Shabbos. It's Rabban Huda Gozru be'gzeira, shem yoimru oifim Yontif af l'chol. The chum were concerned. Oh, I'm already cooking from Yontif to Shabbos. I might now start baking and cooking from Yontif to Chol. However, the same Chachamim that were Machmir, they were Mekel. Heim Omru, Heim Omru. Because that's Chur, Rabban Eruv, it's Avshilin, Isli Akeira. Once you make Eruv Avshilin, that shows you the only reason why I'm baking cookie today because tomorrow is Shabbos. But if it was Chol, there's no din of Eruv Avshilin, I wouldn't be able to go and cook. So let me ask another question. And can I cook and not, etc. I have a behema, and he took it to the veterinarian. The veterinarian says, this behema looks very, very weak and very meek. You better go and shecht it quickly. It's not chas shomatreifa. It's not a balmum. It's a fine, wonderful animal, but it's a...
It's expiring in about an hour or so.
Exactly. It's going to expire soon. Its expiration date is on
the... It won't walk a mill.
Exactly. So what's the din? Lo yishchayt, you're not allowed to go and shecht it on Yontif. If you have enough time to go and shecht it, and then to go and do a quick bedika, and then to cut off a kezayis and go and do a tzli, roast it in the oven, you don't even have to go and salt it. We are noyik to salt it, or you put at least a moderate amount, a modest amount of salt, but you don't have to go and let it go and soak and salt for an hour or two. Here you can do tzli, one, two, three. So if you have enough time, in other words, you still have half an hour before the end of Yontif or something like that, yochel lechel, then you're allowed to go and do it and shecht it, and all is fine. Even though the person has already is pretty full, he had a full meal, 8-course meal, a covered Yontif, you're still allowed to go and do that. The hemis, okay, is allowed. Says Rabbi Tufchit, Bishlam the Amri Hoyel. What's the Hoyel? Hoyel the Iboy Lemechel, Matzi Ochel, Misham Hochi Yishchoid. I say that Iboy Lemechel, had he wanted to go and eat, he would have enough time to eat the Tzlim Iboy Jain, even though he has no desire because Baruch Hashem is full. But had he wanted to eat, had he been hungry, he could have eaten. So Matzi Ochel, Misham Hochi Yishchoid. That's why the Chum will say, even though physically Taka doesn't need to eat, but since he could have, would have, should have, that's enough of a hoyel to go and shecht. Elidach, but according to you, Rav Chisa, the Amris Loyamri and hoyel, you don't subscribe to this din of hoyel. Even Bezoi, am I Yishvet? How were the Chum allowing him to go and shecht the animal?
On Yontif.
On Yontif. It's very simple. We should have some money. Otherwise, he's going to lose a whole steer over here, a whole cow. Holy cow! He could lose $1,000, $2,000, the value of all the meat in this up. We should have some money. If you're now going to go and cook or bake or shecht, shaloi the tzayruch on Yontif, the chenisa deraisa. Amalei in mishum hefsin mamoine gomar believe by lechel kezayis, because of the fact that he might lose $1,000, $2,000. We tell him
he's hungry at least for kezayis.
Exactly, we tell him, Mister, are you full? I am full to the brim. I don't have any room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if we shecht your animal and we need you to go and eat it, otherwise this animal is lost forever. Oh, I got plenty of room.
Specifically, you lose $2,000 if you don't eat.
He'll make it like Yavi Kovan. Eat it all sober.
He'll find room for it. He'll find room. So we should have some money. Go believe. Why am I shucking a whole cow just for one little kazayas? You're right. If I could just go and snip off one little kazayas, I would do it. I can't do that.
All or nothing.
Exactly. So therefore, that's not because of Hoyle, but because he really does want to eat it now to be able to save himself the $2,000 for losing a ganze cow and all of the meat. With this, we stop. Have a wonderful day. Rabbi says, I give